Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Now, Pastor Steph can only talk about a couple of days from last week, because I wasn't here for the whole week. But Monday definitely got us started off to shaking the Monday morning blues. As we talked about a sister situation, well, you had this one sister who was married to Grant, and Jenna had been believing that her husband was cheating on her. Now, he denied it and denied it, and, you know, she said that he's always complimenting women, and he's like, you know what, listen, I just simply like to compliment women. I don't have any other reason for, you know, doing what I do, I'm not cheating. Well, she still did not believe him. So what she did was she approached her sister and wanted her sister to seduce her husband, Grant, get him in the bedroom while she hides in the closet, and jump out from hiding when it was clear that they were about to get it on before anything happened. And sister said, absolutely not. I will not be a part of this crazy harebrained scheme. Well, Jenna told Mom. And now Mom, who doesn't like Grant anyway, wants the sister to go along with this crazy scheme. And the sister is now not talking to anybody because Mom had the nerve to call her up and chastise her for not going through with her sister's plan. Well, well, well. What a mess. Because she used that to break up her relationship with her sister. So now you no longer have a relationship with your sister. And I am so glad that the sister actually took a stand. Yeah. You know, it's not hard, you know, to cave in and do what you need to do and, you know, what you feel it is you need to do. But, you know, it's commendable that she actually stood up and said, no, I'm not doing it. even if it meant she did not have her sister's relationship anymore. You know, sometimes it's really, you know, difficult to, you know, do what we're supposed to do because people are just pressuring us to do all kinds of things. So that's how our Monday morning started off. Wow. We ended up getting switch number 194 from Sean Chief. We got the switch tip. Focus on stability. And that's the focus on stability. And, you know, Jenna, the one with the husband, that's not something that she didn't do. She didn't focus on stability. Instead of trying to find out and figure out what could make the relationship better, she focused on what could make the relationship worse. Because not only if they ended up going all the way, she really wouldn't have anybody to blame but herself, but that does not make for a very solid relationship. And, you know, when you have stability, that's one thing. It's hard to keep track and to make sure you stay on that track. But when you don't have stability, you better focus on getting some, because you're going to see that that is going to be monumental to your situation. Okay? Okay. Well, listen, the rest of the week was quite interesting as it landed on Sean P having shows Thursday and Friday. And I have to tell you, I listened, and it was fantastic. You definitely want to go back to Thursday and Friday's conversation. Yeah, she held it down. She held it down with the D-Time crew on Thursday, and then she held it down with the men on Friday. And both days, the conversations were phenomenal. So go back and listen to all these, but especially Thursday and Friday, because you will be in for quite a treat. Now, yesterday, last night, I should say, we started back with the Word Prayer Project. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Impulsiveness was the name of the game last night, and it was amazing. Those scriptures that were pulled out to help us understand what God's word says about impulsiveness blew my mind. I never knew that there was a scripture that said that I've already given you self-control. And that defies impulsiveness. Yeah, well, if you're a follower of Christ. Because when you're not a follower of Christ, you're subject to do anything. Because when you are a follower of Christ, you're subject to do anything. So, if you are a follower of Christ, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And here's the thing. If God has already given us self-control, then he's already given us the other fruit of the Spirit as well, which include love, joy, peace. Yeah. All of that we already have. And that means that we have more control than we would have ever thought. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is always residing in us. You know, the people that say, you know, you catch the Holy Ghost, or, you know, they allude to the fact that you don't always have the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, that's kind of misleading, because the Spirit of the Lord is always inside of you, always active. Now, can we suppress the Spirit of the Lord, which means that at any given moment we could bust out with this impulsiveness? Absolutely. But know that when the Word of the Lord says that God has already given us self-control, that now you're really going against the Spirit of the Lord. Because if it's already given to you, the only way you can exercise it is if you yield to the Spirit of the Lord, because clearly we don't have what we need to do it on our own. So that was like, I mean, earth moving for me last night. Yes, well, it was a wonderful, wonderful prayer session, you know, for us to have been on hiatus since May. Yeah. Last time we had a prayer session together in the room was in May. Didn't realize it had been so long. Well, I got to tell you, preparing for this conference, this Breaking the Yoke Women's Conference, was a doozy for me this year. And thus, I just couldn't do it. There's other times I wasn't feeling well, and there was a holiday weekend and things like that, and, you know, all kinds of things. So we are back in the swing of things and giving God thanks that you just don't lose it, you know? You just don't lose the communication between you and God. So once you get back on that horse, you just go back to what you do. Well, that's how we spent our weekend. A wonderful start on Friday to a thought-provoking weekend with Shantice and our brothers, Ainsley and Al and our pastor, KL, and, yeah, sent you off into a nice weekend. Okay? All righty. Wow. Today is Shaking the Monday Morning Blues all over again. Yeah. Before you know it, the weekend has gone by. We are already at the 12th of August. Oh, my goodness. Half the month is pretty much gone already. Woo! What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got to get it together. Because time is flying by. Time is flying by, which means we're getting closer to our ending. Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm not saying to send you running over into a corner shivering. But what I am saying to you is, listen, we don't know how much longer we got here. So we better take that opportunity and get it right and keep it right. You know, we'll fumble here and there. You know, we'll falter. But it can be a lifestyle. And let me tell you something. Our nasty flesh and spirit, along with the easy coercion of the enemy, will definitely send us down a rabbit hole. Because, you know, we'll see what we're doing, and we just going to keep on going and going and going and going. And we're not going to stop ourselves until we are in trouble with the Lord, until it is now a habit and a lifestyle. And we don't have any excuse for that. We really don't. Nope, we really don't. So, come on, let's get this thing called Christian Walk together. Let this thing call holiness. You know, let it become saturated in our life. Let us get this together, all right? All right. So I'm going to give you a chance to go get that healthy breakfast. I'm going to tell you to tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Hello, my name is Captain Boone with Metro Police. And my message to you today is, in a split-second effort to try to beat a train at a grade crossing, using the tracks as a shortcut or even just a recreational path can be a traumatic experience for all. Families, communities, railroad employees are all affected by these actions yearly. See tracks. Think train.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yeah, we show off. And God has been exceptionally good to us. And there's nothing we can do to show God our appreciation other than to give God our lives. Yeah. We can't do it no better than that. All right? So, let's get our day started with our morning health tip. Wow, I don't know how you're going to feel about this thing. Maybe it is something that you're aware of, but I don't know anything about this. And I ain't too happy about it. But we'll see what happens. I've read part of this article, so it may not be as bad as I think it is. But if it is, oh boy. All right, so lab-grown chicken might be joining your other meat in the meat department. Yeah. So let me get this here together because this is like kind of loud in my ear, so I can only imagine what it must be like in your ear. So let's see if we can fix this first. I'm sorry. I can't try to out-talk that. All right, so what are we talking about? They say in 2022, the average American ate 98.9 pounds of chicken. Yeah. Now, boy, everything is distracting me this morning, so. Oh, okay. So they're saying that with us eating that level of chicken, that means there are about 8 million chickens killed every year. Now, some people are complaining about the amount of chickens that are being killed. And some of us say, okay, well, that's just the way it goes. But they are now trying to introduce lab-grown chicken. And lab-grown chicken is, how can I say this? Somebody said the chickens win some and then they lose some. So they say that it means that the tissue or meat product was grown in a lab. Well, kind of self-explanatory, right? Well, they say that it's not as bad as it sounds. So here's how it works. They say lab-grown chicken starts with cells extracted from an egg or live animals. Scientists then evaluate and test those cells. And then they take that to produce meat that resembles chicken and then creates even more cells. They say then the meat is constructed to have the same composition, architecture, texture, and flavor of traditional meat products. And then those cells are then put in a stainless steel vat, something like what's in a brewery. And for the next several weeks, the cells feed on nutrients and grow until they're ready to be harvested and shaped into what appears to be chicken. Now, some people ask, is it safe to eat? So they say yes. It is safe to eat. They say it kind of comes with the same potential hazards as other meat. They say those hazards include like inflammatory markers that are associated with the increase in cancer or tumors. Now, I don't know about you, but I was paying attention to these pros, the benefits, in other words, of lab-grown meat. So they're saying that there's a cleaner growing environment. So with lab-grown chicken, of course, the environment can be controlled. You're not, you know, got farmed animals and, you know, they're eating all the bad stuff. They're saying that, you know how we get the chicken and it's recalled and there's salmonella, and yeah, they're saying nope, none of that. They're saying that there's less impact on the environment because if you're talking about all those chickens being killed, that's the environment they're referring to. So I don't know. They're also saying that production is quicker with this type of lab-grown chicken. They say once the cells are put in a cultivator, the meat can be harvested 4 to 6 weeks later. And then they're saying outright fewer animals being slaughtered. So yet again, they're bringing directly the issue of how many chickens are being killed every year. Well, the downside is lack of availability, they say. So they're saying that lab-grown chickens will take longer, and the cultivated meat is not as quickly in the market as chicken, regular grown chicken. They're saying the price, needless to say, is going to be more expensive, all right? If you got to go through all of these technological things, you got to keep those things running, right? So it's going to cost more. And finally, should you eat lab-grown chicken? So I'm going to leave that until I speak to my Bhutan crew and see what they say as to whether they should eat lab-grown chicken or regular farm-based chicken. All right? So we'll get an opportunity to see what everybody feels. You know, some people don't mind eating the, you know, lab-grown stuff, and other people do mind eating the, you know, lab-based items. Okay. Well, I got a recall for you. Ground cinnamon powder. So they say that elevated levels of lead have been found in ALB, that's ALB flavor, that's a brand, Spice Class, that's a brand of brown cinnamon, and Shazada, okay? They say that ALB USA Enterprise, ALB, all right, they are a company that's based out of the Bronx. Yeah. They're recalling their ground cinnamon products, and they were distributed in Connecticut, Michigan, Massachusetts, and New York between December 15th of 22 to May of 24. So a whole year and a half. Now, Spice Class and Shazada's cinnamon, they say it was found to be contaminated with high levels of lead, and they're distributed in New York City between December 1st of 23 and May of 24, sold in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York between January 1st of 24 and May. So they're giving lot numbers. They're giving best buy dates. And they're giving sizes. So please go online and look up, because there's a lot of information here. And look up before you use your next bottle of cinnamon. Make sure you look up, all right, just in the event, okay? Just in the event. Remember now, I'll give you the brands again. ALB, A-L-B, and you have Spice Class and Shazada. Those are the cinnamon powders you need to look out for. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. All right. So what are we talking about here? What kind of news do we have? So the is pretty much done. And I wanted to gather up a list of medals that we have gotten here in the United States. I got to tell you, the United States did their thing. They did their thing. So tomorrow on Let's Talk About It Tuesday, I'm going to have some statistics of how we did. I wanted to make sure I didn't talk about it today because based on some chatter and some news, they've got a few discrepancies going on. They've got a couple of battles going on as to who should have gotten in a medal and this one didn't and this one's medal was recalled. And yeah, they've got some stuff going on. Well, for those of you who don't know, 2028 Olympics will be held in the United States and in none other than Los Angeles, California. Yeah, it's going to be in L.A., so they passed the torch in the closing ceremony of this year's Olympics. They passed the torch from France, Paris, to L.A. So, you know, they're going to need all of those 4 years to get ready for the Olympics. You know, all of the stuff we were looking at, they had to build all of that. They had to make most of those arenas. Yeah. So can you imagine how much money and how long it takes for you to actually, you know, build all of those spaces? You got the pool. You've got the gyms where they play all different types of basketball and volleyball, and you've got the beach volleyball. You've got the grass where they do the javelin and all those other high jumps and or pole vaults. And there's a lot of different activities. And this year they even had breakdancing. Now, I don't know. I want to talk to my D-Town crew about this breakdancing. Do you think that breakdancing, I don't want to hear, well, why not? Do you think, yes or no, that breakdancing should have been included in the Olympics? They had to get their skateboarding arena. Yeah, there were a lot of different activities. And it gave the amount of activities this year. And I'll have all of that for you tomorrow, God spares. You know, remember they had to have the, you know, gymnast area as well. You know, so there's a lot that went into and that goes into preparing to host the Olympics. So United States got it back in their hands. And I don't know what it takes for them to, you know, put their bid in and then subsequently get chosen for, you know, the one to be, to house the Olympics. But I know it's a lot of responsibility. And all I know is it couldn't be here in New York. Nope. Couldn't be here in New York. Subway system, they couldn't even host it. Because then the mayor would want to lie about how great the subway system is, and these people would be going buck wild, killing people and robbing people. And see, this is why you need to make sure you get your stuff under control so that you can put bids in for these type of events. Because do you know how many how many jobs are, you know, provided to this city or any other location that hosts something as long as large as the Olympics? You know, Shantice just hit me up and said it's a lot for them to host the U.S. Open. I'm sure it is. And that's an annual thing. That's an annual event, and it's huge. It's huge, but it brings, you know, the economy up when, you know, every August, September, you know, which is, as a matter of fact, they're in the mouth of hosting now. Yeah, they're preparing now. It's got to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So, and by the way, they have a free day, you know. If I can remember correctly, it's that Thursday. It's the second Thursday of the time that they're here. They're here for 2 weeks, and it's that second Thursday. So if you're interested, yep, I got it right, the second Thursday. Thank you for the confirmation. You want to check that out. You definitely want to check that out. You get an opportunity to watch certain matches for free. So if you ever wanted to go to U.S. Open and you just couldn't afford it, well, no more excuses. All you got to do is make it happen. All righty. Now, speaking of Olympics, I don't know how many of you know the Jordan Chiles saga that's going on. So let me give you this quick update. So Jordan Chiles is one of five gymnasts who went to the Olympics in Paris, along with Simone Biles and Sunny Lee and Hesley Rivera and Jade Carey. And there was some serious stuff going on. So Jordan did not really participate in the freestyle. You know, remember, they worked together as a team. They got the gold. And then each of the ladies got an opportunity to be a part of each area of gymnastics based on their, you know, expertise in that area. So Jordan Chiles was a part of the floor exercise, you know, where they run and they do the flips and all of that kind of stuff. So what happened was she participated, and within a certain amount of time after your event, you know, when you actually are, you know, you're on the floor, when they give your rating, your coach has 60 seconds to go back to the judges and ask for a consideration or a reconsideration, actually, of your score, and can petition for a higher score based on X, Y, and Z. Well, Jordan Chiles actually performed her routine, and her coach went and filed for that you know, reconsideration. I'm going to try to see what the name of it is called. Okay, so you don't know whether you get that reconsideration until your next time up. So that's what ended up happening. So when Jordan Childs actually went for the finals, so in the semifinals, you get to, you know, make this petition. And when the finals come up, you must perform your routine first, and then they let you know what they ruled on. So they ended up ruling on all ladies, and then what happened was when they announced the ruling, Jordan had a rating for the finals in number in the fifth place. But when they rated her, she ended up in the third place, which meant that she had the bronze. She got the bronze medal. Well, by that time, which is a stupid rule, they need to do this differently. Romania was in the bronze spot. There's a young lady who was in the bronze for Romania. So I guess in a way they got to say it out loud. So, of course, I got the bronze, I got the silver, I got the gold rating, I'm going to be jumping up and down. So she gets excited, which she should. And then they announce that there is a ruling on Jordan Childs's, you know, coach petition. Well, that pushed Jordan up to number three. And that didn't go well for Romania because now, you know, and I felt kind of bad for her because now she has to hear that she no longer is in the bronze spot. So she doesn't get the medal. So they do show her, you know, she's upset. I mean, like I said, I get it. I definitely get it. So that's the way it ended. Well, it didn't, because Romania, the authorities in Romania, when they announced it, Romania was not happy, and they made an appeal to the federation. So what they did was they said, okay, she doesn't get the bronze. Because what Romania said was, hey, they didn't put the petition in. Her coach did not put the petition in before 60 seconds. Now, my question is, how would you even know? How would you even know? How you know? But, you know what, listen, any stall or any, you know, turnaround is better than none. So sure enough, they said that she no longer had the bronze, Jordan Childs, and that Romanian young lady did because her people were slow. So that's what the ruling was. Well, again, you shoot the gun too quickly because when they did the research, they found out two things. That not only did they put in one petition, but they put in two petitions for them to reevaluate Jordan's score. The first petition was time stamped at 47 seconds, which means that they definitely beat the 60-second mark. They also had a time stamp of her putting in a second petition, but that one was at 55 seconds, which meant that she still beat the clock.
because it was the female coach, that she still beat the clock twice, not once, but twice. So now, after making the ruling, before you bothered to check to find out if the accusation was accurate or not, now you got to go give the girl back a bronze medal, because they actually asked Jordan to give her bronze medal back, because your coach did not abide by the rules. What a mess. Now, here's my thing. Y'all done been in existence way too long to be pulling this garbage. Romania, I don't want to say they were sore losers, but they were sore losers. You know, they challenged, which you have every right to. I am not angry with the challenge personally, because you know what? Hey, take your shot in the dark. But the Federation, the Olympic Federation, they were very poor in responding. Instead of them saying, give us an opportunity to do the research. No, you go and tell the people, oh, you're right. We're going to cancel her bronze medal, and we're going to have her give it back so we can give it to you. And then when they went to do the research, they found out that the rules were properly adhered to. So now they had to go back and say, well, you know what? We made the decision to cancel the decision for Jordan Childs and ask her to give the bronze medal back before we actually got whether they met the criteria of the reevaluation or not. You know what? No, I'm sorry. That's just way too much going on. That's way too much. That's amateurish. That's for people who have just started to do things, and now they goof. So one of the scandals that's going on in the world of Olympics. So let's see what else. Well, I got to tell you, I didn't find anything very interesting. So we are going to talk about this here. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. There's a, let me get his age, 51-year-old man. Now, talk about too old for this nonsense. Too old for this nonsense. He's angry with the mother of his twin daughters, who are 2 years old. In California, she calls the mother, calls to tell them, the authorities, that he's kidnapped their twin girls. And he leaves her a message that says that he is going to send the girls to heaven, and he's going to meet her in hell. I'm going to be waiting for you in hell. And he left a social media post saying the same thing. So in the middle of the night, that's when the San Diego Police Department was notified, and they started looking for the girls, and they were able to track him on his phone. He had been sending her text messages threatening to kill the girls. Well, they followed him on his cell phone to see that he drove off a cliff at 70 miles per hour into the water, where the car turned over on the hood. And thank God for a canine officer who actually went down the cliff and rescued the three of them. The girls did not die, and neither did this creep. And they've allowed him to plead down. If he pled down, they would dismiss a few of the smaller charges. I'm trying to see where these charges are because, oh, he had a list of them for sure. And he had attempted murder, kidnapping, one count of abuse, one count of burglary, and one count of domestic violence. Well, I think they need to add mental anguish for the mama, harassment for the mama. Oh, there needs to be tons and tons and tons more charges. So now you get to plead down and you're only getting 31 years in the agreed upon sentence. So he actually goes back for the sentencing hearing on September 20th. If this is not madness, what was there to plead and agree? What? You took the girls. You have proof of text messages that was threatening to kill the girls to get back at the mother. You had a Facebook or social media post that showed that it came from his account. What do you put? This system is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. How could you on the other end plead? This is not something that's questionable. He was guilty. I don't hear nothing about no alleged this and alleged that. He took the girls. He said he was going to kill two innocent children. And you let him bargain? I'm so disgusted. I need to talk to my dude Tom Crew because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. Let me get to my girl Tamika and see what she has to say. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I was okay for a minute. And now, after talking about that thing, I'm not so okay anymore. But let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit before we get started. We're talking about lab-grown chicken versus farm chicken. Based on what you heard, what are you going to purchase?
I think I'm just going to lay off chicken. I've been hearing this for quite a while, and it cautions me, when everything is left to the hands of, you're just going to recreate stuff, everything had been fine, you hadn't really been hearing too many issues with people having concerns about chicken. Now you want to do things in a lab. I'll be honest, I don't trust it. I have legitimate concerns, what if something goes wrong, and I really don't, it's God created, animals and things like that, and now you want to reinvent the wheel, and I'm doing a good job, I really honestly don't trust it. For those that do, good for you, but I might just lay off chicken altogether.
All righty. Well, we got our saga of this Jordan Childs business where, after she went through the semifinals, once they scored, they have an opportunity, the coach, within 60 seconds to go and make a petition for a reevaluation of the score, with the hopes of increasing the score. Now, they don't know how they're going to fare excuse me, in the finals. We don't know whether this score is going to make a difference or not. But for whatever the reason is, they wanted a reevaluation of her score, of Jordan's score. And when she did get the evaluation, after the finals and the score was given, she placed fifth. But once they read the score, re-evaluation from the day before, they added to her score, which pushed her into third place, which meant she was now a bronze medalist. Now, already the Romanian young lady had already set her heart on the fact that she won. And now the Romanian authorities are, you know, saying, hey, she did not, they did not put in the petition for the re-evaluation early enough. They didn't beat that 60 seconds. And we feel you should shut that down. Well, they did. And they asked Jordan to give back the medal, only to be later shown. They have, they videotaped this process, which is excellent that they do. They videotape it, and they found that not only did she put in one petition, but she actually put in two. The first one was at 47 seconds, and that was time-stamped. And the next one was 55 seconds, and that was time-stamped. And it was all shown. Not only was it time-stamped, but it was shown on video. They have a time-stamped video that shows that they did meet the deadline. And now there's the scandal of, oh, okay, well, we kind of made that decision before we did our research. What do you think of this whole thing here?
I think that as long as the Olympics has been out, you should have been able to just tell them, listen, we're researching. You know, you look at basketball games or football games or anything like that that they have the replay for, you know, before they make a decision, before they audibly say anything, they take the time, you know, they look at the videos, and considering that you have, you know, that accessibility, technology is amazing, you know, that you don't just go out and say, oh, well, you definitely won. You literally say to her, listen, wait, let us do the research, we'll get back to you. They didn't do that, and now they've caused extra grief that was unnecessary, you know, and so she actually won, you know, and now, I could understand, if you thought that she didn't do it within the time frame that you would fight, I get that, you know, that makes sense. However, you know, let them do the research and let them, you know, by them saying to her that she automatically won, they caused more damage than good.
Absolutely, and I agree with you 100%. Throughout this, and I have been very, my eyes have been on this Olympic Games. Trust me when I tell you. And everything has, okay, let's go back to the replay. I watch the volleyball. It's one of my favorite. And when I tell you, they are always challenging. They have a certain amount of challenges that they're allowed. And sure enough, they constantly go back. And they go, you know, watch the video to verify, you know, what happened. And to, before they open their mouths, they let you know. Every single area, Tamika, they let you know. They're watching the video. They're going back. Mm-hmm. They're watching. They're going back. So how you get to this point, here you at the end of the line, and you start making stupid decisions, like that, I agree with you 100%. You had enough time to be able to simply say, okay, we'll take that under advisement. Let us get back to you. Period. So I don't know. I agree that they have made a bigger mess than they anticipated. A bigger mess. All right. We've got this 51-year-old individual who still don't have control over his emotions, that you are going to, first of all, you 49, you already had kids too late.
You ain't got no business having no kids, and you're almost 50. I'm sorry. Well, this is one of the reasons why, because you ain't got half a set of brains in your head to say, I need to keep my emotions to the side so my children can live. So not only did you threaten, but then you got an opportunity to plea deal, Tamika. What is your thought on that?
I'm trying to figure out what kind of cockamamie stuff is this? Where did it come from? Like, you know, the thing that gets me about these things is you do wrong and then you get to plead. You know, where I don't understand where, and it's happening again and again. And I'm not even just talking about this one situation. It's like, you know, it almost seems as though, well, we don't want to offend the person who offended the person. So we'll let them do this and we'll let them do that. Where does that happen? You know, I don't get it. I'm just not understanding. You know, the other thing, you know, that I wanted to verbalize, you know, obviously he didn't take any lessons from the gentleman who ran his wife and children down and, you know, the car ended up inside. You just figured that because I run off this cliff that automatically our lives are over. That, well, apparently God said not so. And now you're going to have to serve this time.
Yeah. You know, 31 years on 51 leaves you to be 82. And last I checked, there are a whole lot of people living past the age of 82. So you got these two babies who actually could possibly live to see the father who tried to kill him walk the streets like he did nothing. I don't care about him serving no 31 years. How do you not get life? How do you not get life? All right. Even if they don't give you the death penalty, how do you not get life? This is a crummy system. The judicial system is disgusting. Disgusting. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we'll be back to continue our conversation. All right, let's talk to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you doing over there?
I'm okay. I'm recuperating. I'm well, thank you.
All right, that's good. Well, listen, you eat a lot of chicken, and they're saying that lab-grown chicken will be here before we know it, replacing, if we want, farm-raised chicken. Which one will you be purchasing?
Well, I'm not sure. As you say, I do eat a lot of chicken, and I pray daily. So I'll be laying my hands on whatever bird deal is, and I pray that it'll keep me in perfect peace.
Wow, okay. All righty. Well, considering that we don't eat pork and we don't eat shellfish, I'm not going to lay off the chicken like Lady Tamika. But I think I'm sticking to the farm grown. I don't think I'm handling the lab stuff, and I hope they don't dupe me into believing that I'm buying farm grown.
I'm going to bring up that as well. I'm going to agree with that. I just think that, you know, from my childhood days, there's been so many things going on. I mean, there's been new names of stuff I've never heard of. Angus beef until I got into my 50s. Where was the Angus when I was 9? You know what I mean? It's just every day there's something different. I mean, I don't understand. So I think that every year or every few years, there's another name for some other kind of animal, some type of mutation. So, I mean, we're going from something.
You're right. I'm sticking to the farm fresh. Like I said, all I can hope for and pray for is please don't sell me no lab grown and I think it's farm fresh. I just don't do me. But I'm sorry. I'm with you. We don't have any idea of what they're giving us from moment to moment. You know, this supposedly organic. We don't know if the stuff is really organic. We ain't got no tester to find out whether it's organic right. or not. So you're right. We have no idea. Every time we turn around, something else is being invented and distributed to us. And I don't know. Just keep in Jesus. That's the only way we could go past chaos. The only way we could go. All righty. Whether you're a gymnast fanatic or not, whether you're a Olympic, you know, person or not, what do you think of this Jordan Chiles fiasco?
Well, personally, I mean, I've been listening. I've been watching the Olympics all weekend and week. But I do think since the Olympics people failed themselves, and both of them should have got the bronze. They could have gave out two medals.
Wow.
Because, I mean, that's heartbreaking. And you know, you told the child she won. So her and her country is celebrating. Now you told the other child that she won. So her and her country is celebrating. So we didn't drop the ball. You dropped the ball. So why not just give both of them the bronze?
Well, you know what? I guess that's a way you can go. You know, I never considered that. You know, I was trying to figure out why the process is. So you put the petition in at the semifinal. You ask them to go back and reevaluate the score. So you know the score can increase. But the score that gets increased goes toward the score that they rate in the final. So
right.
That's a little puzzling to me to begin with. You know, if you're going to do that, you know, you're going to me it would be better if you say, okay, well, we rated and either you participate or you don't participate in the final. Well, there was no question as to whether she would participate in the final. So, but they add those extra points on to the final score, which I think causes this to begin with, because you can't tell whether they got the increase or not until after they render the final score. So they've got to say what the judges rated you on the finals, and then they add on the new, you know, point from the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that to me becomes too muddy. It just, they need to find a different thing. And you know what? Now that you say it, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You gave it, you know what?
Right.
In a sense, they both won. If you think about it, they both won. She won. The Romanian young lady won for the final. Out of all the
right.
people that rated, she rated number three. So technically she did win. But now you come back and you give these points from yesterday, which means that there's another winner. Because, see, she could have gotten the increased points but didn't rank in between one, two, and three. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if she ranked with the additional points silver or gold. Oh, all hell would have broke loose, huh?
Right.
Yeah, you.
Because
no,
I do remember that. I'm not sure whether it was this year or another year, but I did hear that they gave two gold medals to something at one point because they couldn't figure it out.
Wow.
So
well,
I mean,
they,
I know
they,
it's
they
possible
have to do it. Okay. Well, I agree. Y'all goofed this one up. I don't know about all the other scandals that's going on, but this one here, y'all goofed up. You need to come up with a whole different
process to keep from somebody? Because my thing is, when you know that you're going to tell, when y'all put the numbers up on the board after the finals, these people are looking up at the board to see where they ranked. So, of course, if I see I'm up there as number three, I'm going to start jumping up and down because, hey, I got the bronze. And supposedly what makes it even worse is because she got a medal for the country. And that was a lot this go-round where these countries hadn't been in the medal arena for decades.
Right.
Somebody has won, and they had their country hadn't been in there in 100 years. It had been 100 years since they had won the medal. So when you get that kind of news, you're celebrated for a few reasons. So I agree with you, actually. It wouldn't kill them. Go ahead and give it to both of them. It says, y'all got this crummy rule. Go ahead and give it. Now, I got a question about male counterparts at 51 who's still killing people who have nothing to do with his problem. What's your thought about this plea deal?
I mean, I'd like to know if it tells you how old the twins were.
How old what?
Twins were children.
Yeah, I said it. They were 2 years old.
Two, okay. Yeah. I don't understand because everything was, you know, once he starts writing stuff down, trying to write the vision and make it plain, he's writing what he's going to do. He's making suicide notes, telling you he's going to kill the children, kill himself. This is all planned out. And then he attempts it. So I'm not sure whether didn't get life because it wasn't murder. Premeditated in murder. I mean, yeah, you should have definitely got life. Now, one of the concerns I was that how the children was because perhaps I never remember this. Still, they'll hear about it all the time. So it may not be mental trauma for them because they probably would, again, they'll grow out of this. But just to even hear family talking about, you know, if your daddy tried to kill you, that could be mental trauma within itself. As you say,
absolutely.
They probably will live long enough to see daddy walk and who tried to kill me. So, that could be a little challenging as well. By all means, he should have got life without parole.
Absolutely. They shouldn't have even been up for negotiations. That should not have even been up for a negotiation. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, thank you so much for indulging me in our conversation. I have two relationship dilemmas, and one has it's a friendship dilemma. The other one is a little deeper. So they write in, I have a female friend. I take out to lunch every once in a while. I often pay the check. When she goes back home to her husband, he's upset that she didn't bring something back for him. He tells my friend, it's what partners do. These people are not without food or the means to get it. Neither one is starving. And he doesn't bring back anything for her when he goes out. What are your thoughts on this? So, I ask you, Pastor KL, what are your thoughts on this?
So, paying for my friend, paying for your wife. Your wife was here, I pay for her. That's what the situation was. If this is just a guy's night out or, you know, buddy night out, it's you and I. It's not. So if you have children, I should pay the wife and the children at home? Doing all that. It's me and him. That's totally ridiculous.
You know, Pastor KL, let me tell you what came past. Oh, wait. Hold on. Lady Tamika's on. So I'll hold that. Let me give her an opportunity. Tamika, did you hear the dilemma?
I am so sorry. I did not.
Okay, it's quick, so it's no big deal. Hold on. I have a woman friend I take to lunch every once in a while. I often pay the check. When she goes back home to her husband, he's upset that she didn't bring something back for him. He tells my friend it's what partners do. These people are not without food or the means to get it. Neither one is starving, and he doesn't bring back anything for her when he goes out. What are your thoughts on this is what the person is asking.
First of all, I'm trying to figure out what kind of planet this is that a married woman goes out to lunch with a single man. And then that's number one dilemma. Dilemma number two is hubby is waiting for her to bring something home. Their relationship as a whole is very twisted, you know. And so if that's the case, then why not bring the husband? You know, all three of y'all eat, you know, on this person. You know, I just think it's crazy for you to even think that as the husband waiting at home, you know. And you eliminate all that problem by not even bothering to eat lunch with this gentleman. You wouldn't have had any of these issues to begin with. It's just crazy.
You know what? I'm with you 100%. So that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, let me read this thing again. As quick as it was, I was like, let me read this again. First of all, this man has authorized you to be able to go out and sit with another man from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you why he's not worried, Tamika. Because he's getting something out the deal. Yeah, you can go out with him. Mm-hmm. Just bring me something back home, which is why it's been going on for so long, because that's their agreement. If you allow me to go out, I'll bring you something back. So this just describes their relationship. That's what they're doing now. This just allows us to see the dynamic of their relationship, because like you said, who in the world these days, then you going to let your wife go sit up and look at another man's face and now the man looking at her face because y'all having lunch. For what? Why you can't take her out to lunch? Clearly you're not. So, yeah, he's gonna allow it because he's getting something out of jail. And she's been bringing him something home, and now you tired of it. You've been agreeing to this also. Because now you get to look up in her face for an hour and a half. But now it's starting to cost you a little more than you thought. And you don't want to pay this money no more. So now you don't want to buy the lunch. So my thing is, what do you do? What are my thoughts? Stop going to lunch with her. Stop going to lunch with her. You ain't going to be sitting up there looking at no other married woman no way. They got something going on. That's what my thoughts are. Y'all got something going on, and now it's starting to become a problem. So y'all thought y'all could handle it. It's almost like when people agree to have a third party in the bed because everybody all right with it, and then when somebody gets a little too attached, now y'all mad. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and oh, yeah. Wow. Here's another relationship dilemma that I'm going to throw into the kitty today. And we'll see what happens. I'm 43. I've been talking to this guy for 7 months. We agree that we aren't dating, and we are best friends with benefits. But it seems as though we spend all our time together and that we are basically dating, but without the title. How do I get this commitment fold to realize we should be together without actually telling him, because I'm afraid it would scare him off. Tamika, what say you?
You're already signing a check that, you know, you can't cash, because you're signing up for this. You know, whether you realize it or not, you're saying, oh, well, we're not really in a relationship. So basically you're doing whatever he allows you to do, you know, and then at that point, you know, if I say this or if I do this or if I act a certain way, you know, it's going to cause him to leave. You know, you already are accepting whatever it is that he's open to, you know, whether you realize it or not. Oh, we're not in a relationship. We sleep together, we eat together, we play together, you know, we do this together, we do that together, but we're not in a relationship. In your mind, you are in a relationship, but you basically have signed in for whatever it is. And truly, 9 times out of 10, when you actually verbalize, okay, well, I want a relationship, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find yourself defeated, because this is something that you signed up for. You didn't verbalize. You didn't talk about it. You know, 9 times out of 10, you saw those red flags. You know, it's okay. I can change the situation. You know, it'll get better, blah, blah, blah. And now you're stuck in it.
All righty. Pastor KL, what advice would you give?
I apologize. I missed the story. Can you repeat that for me?
All right. You know what? You're fired. You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I am 43. I am 43, and I have been talking to this guy for 7 months. We agree that we aren't dating, and we are best friends with benefits. But it seems as though we spend all our time together, and that we are basically dating, but without the title. How do I get this commitment fold to realize we should be together without actually telling him, because it would scare him off?
What happened? That's there's no way you can do that. Not to a man. You done gave him the milk for free. Whole cow. I didn't have to buy the cow. Say, every time I open the refrigerator, I can get a cup if I want one. Want a cup, then I don't have to drink it. You telling me that this cow is going to live at the house now? Well, no, we're not doing that. It's never going to happen that way. You better hope that's what he wants and that's what he pursues with you. But if you try to do it that way, no, it's gone. The milk is going to be spoiled.
Wow. You know, how does Shanti say it? Transparency moment. I had this situation long time ago. Even before my former life, I had this situation. And it didn't go well at all. It didn't go well. It did not go well. Mm-hmm. Because according to him, Stephanie stepped out of bounds. And we have not spoken since. Yeah, he has not spoken to me since that day. Yeah. So I have yet to hear these arrangements go well. Because like you both have said, this is what you both signed up for. And somebody is expecting you to stick to the rules. So sometimes it's the female and sometimes it's the male. But regardless of who steps out the rules, most times I have not heard this going well for anybody. But I am here to tell you, it ain't go well for me at all. Now, did I really lose anything? I think I made I created a situation that was not good. But again, hindsight is 20/20. You sign up for these friends with benefits, then either leave it like that or stop being friends. Just stop. Just together. Like I said, it's not just for my own personal experience. It's pretty much what you both said. It's going to be destroyed. You up there talking about this commitment phobe individual, it really has something to do with your commitment, even your commitment. You're saying he's commitment phobe, but you agreed to this. Don't do it to yourself. If he's a friend, then y'all need to sever the friendship or either stop sleeping together. And if you can't stop sleeping together, then sever this friendship, because it ain't going to go well if either one of you step out of place. Because some women, I've heard some women say, yo, I don't want this. I'm not looking for no commitment. He's getting all attached and clingy. And some people just simply don't want that. So you're going to have to deal with the fact that, you know, yes, you're spending all this time together. I know what that's like. Yes, you're always doing stuff together. I know about that. But at the end of the day, any adjustment to this arrangement could send this into a bad arena. So I say cut it out and deal with it. Cut it out and deal with it. Forget all of that. And, you know, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You ain't going to lose none at the end of the day, no way. So, my Dutan crew, thank you for helping with the relationship dilemmas, because I'm sure somebody who's here who'll hear this, if it's not exactly the same, it'll be conceptually the same. And you've definitely helped with this level of advice. Thank you so much. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Oh, you as well.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Well, you know what time it is. It is almost the top of the hour, and it's time for our switch tip. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. What you got for us today?
Today, I have the switch with Shanti, so we make the switch from the street to our godly seat. And our switch tip 195 is realize the power within your choices. The definition of choice is an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. And last night on the Word Prayer Project, Pastor Steph had us praying on the topic of impulsiveness. You know, just doing something off a whim, not putting any thought into it before you do it, and not considering or caring about the consequences. And it wasn't until I reread the definition again last night, right before the prayer started, that I was like, wow, I definitely have to put myself at your feet, Jesus, and ask you to help me with this, because I'm seeing how I'm really playing and fitting into that definition, which has everything to do with the choices that I make. And it then takes me back to the verse that says, an unstable man is unstable in all his ways. When you start to become careless about your choices in one area of your life, it has a domino effect. You start becoming careless and carefree with the choices in all the areas of your life. And there was one verse in particular that came to mind. I didn't have to look anything up yet. It just popped into my head a little while ago. And Joshua 24:15, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. And it reads, if it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods, that's lowercase g, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods, again lowercase g, of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it wasn't until I thought of this verse a little while ago. I've read this verse plenty of times before. The verse has come up as something that has been referenced in the midst of, like, like a joke, like, okay, so as far as me and my house, but it's the first time I've thought of it and read it and considered my house as my body. And, you know, and God talks to us very heavily about our body being a temple and how we should care for our body, whether it's what we eat, whether it's from abstaining from sexual immorality, whether it's abstaining from drugs and alcohol and any and everything else and anyone else that will harm our body. But just having me go back to the choices that we make, again, overall, the choices that I make with my body, whether it's my mind, whether it's my actual body parts, whether it's how I choose for my body to move. As for me and my health, my choice needs to be that I worship the one and only true living God, the capital G God, the only capital G God, the God that is matchless, the God who is responsible for the breath that I am breathing right now that enables me to make the choice. And I know there have been times where I'm like, God, why can't you just help me be pretty much robotic? The way I'm just like, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. But what glory does God get out of that? Yes, it would make it easier for me because that means that would be less choices I would have to make. So when I would want to choose to go left, automatically it would just be like, oh, no, because I don't have to put any thought into it. And there are points where I notice that it's like, wow, normally I would have chosen door A, but I chose door B, and God was behind door B. So amen, amen, Holy Spirit, amen. But I've been noticing that for me and my house, my mental house, my physical house, my emotional house, my spiritual house, it has been a lot more challenging as of late, these past few months, for me to make sure that I choose the one and only true God and not choose my flesh, not choose the way this world is moving, not choose the way I would want to go, but making sure that an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities, we're always going to be faced with the option up until the day God closes our eyes, up until the day he sends his son back. We're always going to be faced with the options because I know I could, but should I? I know I would. But could I? Those possibilities and options are going to always be there. So we have to make sure we're making the conscious decision of making the switch from acting like our choices do not have the power that it has, because our choices will dictate the way we move and the way we speak. God tells us all the time about the power that we have in our tongue, how we can speak life or death, we can speak things into existence, or we can kill our blessings. So let's make sure we're making the switch from killing ourselves to understanding the power that we have within the choices that we make, understanding that when we're faced with two or more possibilities, we always choose the door that God is behind. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. You know, I want to publicly say that I listened to Thursday and Friday's episode, and you did a fantastic job as the captain of the ship. Very good. Very proud
Thank
of you.
Thank
very
you. Thank
you
for entrusting me with that.
Amen. Amen. Well, ultimately, is God entrusting you? So I'm sure he was very happy and pleased with the results. So keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All righty. Well, let's get this benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Wow. I was out last weekend, Thursday and Friday, because I actually went to a leadership summit. And when I tell you phenomenal, oh my goodness gracious, it was so power-packed for 2 days. It was just a 2-day summit. 7 speakers,
7 primary speakers. And they had some other speakers and other presentations and other stories and things like that. And, you know, you have no idea of all these things that these people were giving, all these tools, gems, and it's like, wow, how could you never would think of these things? At least they never came to my mind. Well, everybody else was wowed in the room as well, so, you know, they were impressed and they were moved and they were, you know, stepping away from the table also as though, you know, this was, you know, the greatest thing that could have happened. And it was worth any amount of money that you paid. They ended up getting a phenomenal discount for the particular group we were with, and giving God thanks that he pays the bill, because there was a lot to learn. And you know, a lot of times you don't think of yourself, you know, as a leader. You don't think of yourself as a this or a that, and then get an opportunity to go, well, I know I'm a leader, so that wasn't the issue. But it really made me see things a bit differently. And I wanted to share this because I don't know who else could be thinking this way. You know, since I've been ill, you know, my illness didn't initially affect me mentally, but as time went on, it has affected me mentally, where, you know, you go through all kinds of different emotions and, you know, things like that, you know, just to say the least. And one of the things that I realized is the learning ability, that formal learning ability, is a lot more challenging than I could have ever imagined. And I'll talk to you in a minute. I said, school, forget it. I'm so bad that I blew my opportunity many, many years ago. You know, who would have thought that, you know, early in my life I would have, you know, fallen ill and it would have affected me. So I'm telling you that, one, to tell you, see the opportunity. If you can, pray to God to make a way if that's his will for your life. Because the time that I messed up and the time right before I got ill, I could have actually gone back. But I was also about to stop. So I just did it. And then there was a point where I could not go back. So all this time, you know, I'm shying away from any formal education. I'm not going to sit up in a class. I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not sitting up in no online class. I'm just not doing it because I just can't keep up. So I did take one class. I did get certification. And I was like, okay, that's it. Because it was grueling. Oh, my gosh. It was so grueling. And I had 6 to 12 weeks. I started off the 6 weeks, I ended up at the 12 weeks, and I struggled to get the 96 test score that I did. Boy, did I struggle to get that, and I was like, I'm not putting myself through that anymore. But when I sat, this would be last year, the tail end of last week, in that summit, I realized that learning comes in all shapes, forms, and fashions. And how critical it is that you continue to learn. And, you know, that was my dilemma, because you know, you need to grow. You know, you're not just going to get all these things and stuff like that. But how critical it is for you to continually grow, so that you master what you do, you stay ahead of the game, and you make sure you're on top, because you know these things. And I have to, you know, praise God, because he's given me everything I have. If I didn't formally know school, God has given it to me. And a lot of times, you know, I marvel at what I know. I'm like, okay, God, you gave me that. Thank you very much. And that's one of my constant prayers. God, just thank you for educating me on your terms. But what I learned last week was, I think the longest amount of time that a speaker actually was before us was maybe about 45 minutes to 50 minutes. And the wealth of knowledge and information that you actually got in that 45-minute period was like a lifetime. It was like you had just sat through a real class because it was power-packed. It was power-packed. I mean, it taught so much in 45 minutes. And there were others who didn't get 45 minutes. There were others who got 30 minutes. And they didn't get the same amount of time. So they got 40 minutes. You know, I don't know, you know, what their real time was, because only one person ended up going over and kind of throwing the schedule a little off. But everybody else adhered to their amount of time. And I really gave God thanks last week because I said, thank you, God, for showing me that I can enter into this learning arena on my level. That was good for me. We have 7 days. It's the video. We have videos out there for 7 days that they give us that we can review and look at again. That's available to us, and we can, you know, take our notes and, you know, then after the 7 days is kind of over. But they also offer a continuing educational path, if you will, where you pay once a month. And I was like, well, if they charge this, that wouldn't be too little with all the amount of people, but it wouldn't be too big. It would be perfect. And sure enough, I looked it up, and it was exactly the number that I had set. And I'm like, thank you, God, because now I can continue to learn and grow. And build. I am making myself available for you to build upon whatever you've already given me. Because if I'm going to be out here leading people, I need to consistently grow. And every time I've been to, this is my third time going to this particular summit, I've learned so much. And it's not outdated stuff. It doesn't matter what type of leader you are. It doesn't matter what arena you serve. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your gender. It is so, I mean, vital. This information is like you've been living without this information all the time. And each time one of the speakers finishes, you're like, how did I ever live without this information? So I want to encourage you all. If you feel the way Pastor Steph felt prior to last Friday, find a certification or some type of training that you can handle personally. And I've noticed in the past year, because I've been toying with taking some classes, and I'm noticing they're offering more and more shorter classes, shorter certifications, you know, shorter degrees. You know, you can, you know, get these degrees in this non-4-year, you know, typical, you know, time span. And, you know, you don't have to leave your home. You don't have to invest a lot of money. And just recently, I was looking into, you know, this whole thing, whole schooling thing, and, you know, where they were doing all this training, and I mean, they had all kinds of training, and I just wanted to make sure I did the research to find out if I would not be paying for something that was like useless. But I've definitely found in going to this particular summit last week, I have definitely found, you know, something that is affordable. And I mean, it's affordable, extra affordable, and you consistently get the tools. This is the they call it 365. You're always learning. So find what you need. It's out there. Ask God for what you need and to provide that particular need. Let God know that this is what you want. You know, yes, he already knows. We know that part. But know that God is here to facilitate. And I think that's what the point I want to drive at this moment. You know, God is the facilitator. I knew that I wanted to take the class this year. I had taken it 2 years before. Last year, I did not. I missed last year. And I actually missed the year before. It was my mother's passing, so I really didn't. And I couldn't concentrate at that point. So I missed 22. I missed 23. And I was determined I wanted to go in 24. And just so grateful that God, you know, ensured that I could go. And then I could be on site because I didn't want to do it remotely. I wanted to be with the other leaders. I wanted to be with the other people who were striving to be leaders, striving to be better leaders. I wanted to be around those people. I just didn't want to be sitting in my house, you know, doing this. And, you know, there's a plus to doing it remotely because you can actually stop it and so forth and so on. But you're pressured because there is still a time limit because it's live. You're following it live. So God can and will facilitate the things that he wants for your life, but especially if that's what you want and it's in alignment with what he has for you. And to be a better leader is something that he wants for Stephanie. And I know that because he wants growth. He invests in us so that we can and we will grow. And again, to make it affordable for me, to make it, you know, to accommodate my needs, to see to it that I was on site, to see to it that the money that was needed to be on site was there with no problem. When I tell you, it was like God rolled out the red carpet and said, you know what, this is where I want you to be. So let me just show you how you get there. Just follow this. And everything just fell into place. Well, that's the way God will do it for you as well. That's the way God will do it for you. He's not just doing it for Stephanie. He's not just doing it for Mary. He's not just doing it for John. He'll do it for you as well. But you cannot be afraid. You cannot be fearful in any shape, form, or fashion. You cannot be hesitant. And that's the one thing I always have given, I've given God thanks. I've never been, not impulsive, but I've never been hesitant. I always knew that I was supposed to do whatever it is that I was supposed to do. Never running away. Never questioning everything. Never, you know, oh my goodness, what's going to happen with this? And oh my goodness, God. No, because I've always been able to connect with God and see, okay, that ain't for me. As bad as you may want it, girl, you better go ahead about your business. Or, you know what, God, thank you. I'm there. I appreciate you. That confidence makes the difference. That know that I know that I know that I know makes the difference. So no matter what it is that you need, no matter what it is that you want, if that's what God wants for you, which is your only concern, that's your only concern. Trust me when I tell you, that's your only concern. Finding out from God if that's what he wants for you. Because once you find out from God that's what he wants for you, then trust me when I tell you, he is going to provide. He is going to make a way for it to happen. And when I tell you, it was just gravy. I got a call, and I was like, listen, I don't want to be sitting up in my house. I don't want to go. I didn't pay for this thing already. I don't want to. And the person said, for some reason, I had a feeling you wouldn't want to be in your house. I want you on site. Because that's what made me say I don't want to be in my house. She's like, I want you on site. She said, I know you heard that we're not going to be at place A, but I want you on site. And I was like, well, you don't realize I want to be on site because I don't want to be sitting up in my house. I've sat up in here all day. I can sit in here
an extra 9 days. But for this particular thing, I did not want to be at home. And she was like, oh, okay, well, will you be willing? I was like, yeah. She's like, I'll call you back. And when I tell you, from that point on, everything, like I said, was like God just rolled out the red carpet. And I am so grateful to God that I followed his leading and just went. So I don't care what is going on in your life. I don't care how it takes. But see, I can't get a loan for school. I want to go to school. I can't get no loan. I've got some stuff that went on that I cannot get a federal loan to go to class. I can't, you know, I can't do, and like I told you, I can't sit in a class like that. It's just, for my mental capacity, it's overload. But the way this summit was laid out, this was perfect. So if there's a perfect thing, which there is, for you, then seek God for that perfect thing. See, because, you know, some kids are going to college right out of school, right out of high school. And then there are others who have realized that college thing is not for them. Trade school, hands-on learning, all of those things matter to you. It doesn't necessarily matter to the next person, because you can't push your kids to go to college anymore. That's not for everybody. But God has something for you. So let me encourage you today. If you haven't already done so, go before the Lord. Tell God what it is you want. Ask God, what do you have for me? This is on my mind. But this may not be what you want from me. But my prayer is that whatever I'd like to do is in alignment with what you already have. Because I've also learned that I may not have understood that what I wanted is what God wants for me. I didn't necessarily, there were times in my life, I'm talking about recently, I didn't realize that what I have been wanting is all, God was just waiting for me to say it. And he said that to me. He said, I was just waiting for you to come. So you're finally here. Okay, now we can work on this thing. So there's nothing wrong with saying, God, this is on my mind. And that's the way I was. I was like, God, why do I feel like I'm supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z? I would say it. And I was like, God, I just want to do something. Why? Why is that? Is that what you have for me? And God said, you finally landed here. I've been waiting to hear from you all this time. Go to God. Converse with God. Make sure you have that conversation. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, God don't speak to me the way he speaks to you. You know why? Because I talk to God. That's why. It ain't just because God is sitting there saying, I'm just going to talk to Stephanie. No, it's because I seek God out. There's a key to that. I don't try to, I've long gone the days of me trying to do things on my own. Long gone the days that I'm going to move until God says stop. Long gone the days that I'm going to act on my own. Those days are gone for Stephanie. It doesn't work. It slows down the time that you get to spend with God because you're so busy doing something else. How many times have you worked until God says stop and you look at all that time you wasted waiting for God to say stop? And you know what he's sitting on the other end saying? I was just waiting for you to stop because I never told you to go. So until you learn that lesson, you're going to be the one that wastes time. Long gone those days for Stephanie. The reason why God communicates with me is because I communicate with God. I go to God and I speak to him exactly the way y'all hear me talk to y'all. All right, God, listen. Such a thing is going on. I need to hear from you because, see, I can't get this. I've been praying and I've been asking and I've been talking to you and you ain't said nothing. And I ain't going to say I'm tired of waiting. But what is going on? Just give me a little hint. Just show me a little light. Just do something. And there were times to show me a little bit of something that I'll, you know, be like, okay, wonderful. 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 Thank you, God. That's all I needed to know
so that I can do what is best and in alignment with what you have. Because I promise you, there's a whole lot of times we think we're right. We think we're going in the right direction, and we're not. We're not. So, yeah, God is always dealing with Stephanie because I'm always in front of him. Whether I'm walking the street, whether I'm in my bedroom, whether I'm in the living room, I am quick to say, all right, you have to talk to me. You have to stick under me because this thing is rattling me right now. You have to make this clear. And please don't make me wait. I'll wait. But please don't make me wait. I'll wait. Just give me a little something to just get by. That's what God says with me to be done. And let me explain something else to you before I go. I'm telling you this from experience. There is a gateway that gets open when you're ready for chastisement from God. There's a gateway. The gates swing wide open when you're ready to get spanked by God when he needs to spank you. If you're the type, you mad because God then corrected you. You're mad because God then picked you up and put you on the right path and you've been on the wrong path. If you're the type of person that's a grumbler and you're complaining and you don't want to do what God says, oh, that will interfere with his communication with you. Because, see, God's not going to waste time. See, we think it's cute. I literally have somebody who's a pastor tell me, oh, I kick and scream all the time, but I do it. And I finally one day, I had to really ask them. I said, let me ask you something. What do you think God is thinking of the time when you're supposed to be leading people, but he can't get you to do what you're supposed to do until you're ready? And they said, I never thought about it like that. I said, but that's how it's going down. You keep saying, I kick and scream. I kick and scream, but I finally do it. That is pleasing to God? You've got to be ready, willing, and able to be chastised by God and just do it. Because that will also hinder your communication with God. He's not going to bother anymore. If you're going to be on your own tangent, why bother? Why is he going to bother with you? So there's a lot of things that I've learned. I didn't wake up and all of a sudden, this is stuff that I've learned. I've never been a person who has been resentful of correction. That's just me, period. And I give God thanks for that because that's something he has to have given me. In order for me to be where I am now, I've never been resentful of correction. If I had to be corrected by whoever, growing up, I just had to eat it because clearly I did something wrong. But let's get on the track that we don't mind God dealing with us in the manner in which he feels he needs to deal with us, and the gates of communication will go flying wide open. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God, where is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Hope Day. Until then, I love you.